Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Update on the Trump assault on politics as usual in Washington. Hear, hear. Trump's declaration regarding transgender in the military and the revelation of at least a bit of the truth about the misery of those confused people. 40% suicide rate among those who are gender confused. Charlie Gard died, a testament to the danger of government health care and getting into bed with the UN, signing on to the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. More on that today. Stay tuned. McCain, the turncoat, insulated from public backlash by wrapping himself up in his cancer diagnosis, and I have nothing but sympathy and good wishes for him in that regard. But listen, he joins the devil's side and kills the vote to repeal Obamacare. What is with these gopers, you know, that voted for repeal over and again when Obama was in office, but balk waffle and throw wiffle ball repeal and replace bills at conservatives who are serious about repeal? What is the inside skinny on the death of skinny repeal? Potty mouth White House communications director Scaramucci drops F-bombs reminiscent of Trump's own occasional F-bomb lobs during his campaign. Only this was actually more like a rapper's assault on civilized sensibilities. Bill Mayer might consider suing the White House for trademark infringement. Scaramucci got dangerously close to confusing the public into thinking they were listening to a Bill Mayer rant. What does all this have in common? Well, essentially this. The heathen rage. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Only to discover, hopefully not too late, that the bands and cords of God's law they hate have served to tether sin nature from running amok off in a mad dash into the destruction it craves. My dear friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The backdrop to the show today. North Korea launched another missile, we understand, while the great dragon, China, eyes American response with devilish interest. Iran is busy developing their nuclear bomb and capacity to deliver it to Israel and America, the great Satan, while the great bear, Russia, sharpens its teeth. You know, will these superpowers manipulate their proxies to draw us into a sort of Cold War scenario? And will Trump tolerate these constant provocations? Will the eagle see what's going on and respond? Sunday night, I'm calling a special prayer meeting. You're invited. And I'm going to deliver an important message addressing the very real concern we should have about the activity of North Korea, a proxy for China, and Iran, a proxy for Russia, and what the Bible says about what we can do about all this, or what had better be done about it, Jeremiah 5:10 with 2 Chronicles 7:14. Please come and help us pray for Trump and America. But this is the backdrop for the brain massage today, so keep it in view. North Korea and Iran continue to signal ominous threats to America. And North Korea, like it or not, is an extension of China. And Iran, like it or not, is an extension of Russia's interest, a sort of agent of Western destabilization. You are watching the loosing of the bands and the cords of civilized decorum and order, and I wonder, do you like it? Scaramucci mouth. Or as I've heard him called affectionately, Mucci. But he certainly does not deserve that honor. The late Henry Mucci died in 1997, was a colonel in the United States Army Rangers, who in World War II led 121 of his fellow Rangers on a mission that rescued more than 500 survivors of the infamous Bataan Death March. So Scaramucci is no Mucci, but what has got me on a tear about Scaramucci? Well, actually, Spicer made me uncomfortable almost every time he got in front of the press. So a change in that office was not unwelcome by me. And Scaramucci, I thought at first, might be the rough-and-tumble personality Trump needs to get his message across and control the delivery of that message. So, I don't know, maybe he needs a junkyard dog to deal with this crowd. What do you think? I guess you might think that's what we have here, a junkyard dog in a suit. Is that what it's come to? Someone might be tempted to liken Scaramucci to a George Patton. You know, Patton talked pretty rough too, didn't he? But there are some important differences here. First of all, Patton earned his place in America with service above and beyond. And second, Scaramucci has nothing like the context that enclosed Patton's interesting personality. When Patton talked, the gravitas of the man commanded respect. Scaramucci simply comes across as a street punk in a suit. Okay. All right, I get it. We're sick and tired of the aristo-republican model of gentlemanly smiling handshakes while deftly plunging a knife in the back with the other hand. And like you, I prefer the full frontal approach of Trump, and I find it refreshing. I mean, I totally get that part of his personality. The whole, you know, let's pretend to like each other to the face while driving the knife into each other's heart from the back, smiling all along, that strikes me as probably the most wicked form of hypocrisy imaginable. As the multiple scars on my own back bear witness, by the way. But do we need to totally give up on all social proprieties, on civil decorum, and respect for the elegance of our beautiful language? And you know, use the ears of the American people as a sort of toilet for the bile that runs thick in the hearts of some of these characters? Everybody likes a rogue, right? Yeah, right. If Scaramucci wants to front stab his political opponents, well, that's fine, I guess. But can the communications director of the Office of President of the United States show some restraint and maybe even a little, well, how about some class? Has the gutter talk of street gangs and lowlifes become the language of a gentleman's public discourse? And does this strike you, my dear listener, as a token of authenticity? You know, is he being refreshingly real? Does it come across as being, well, honest? I guess this might be a surprise to some, but if you think that way about it, I agree with you. It is authentically representative, I believe, of the character of the heart of Scaramucci and his ilk, who slurp up the gutter water that fills their heart and then spits it out all over us. I mean, it's sad when you feel like you need to take a shower after listening to the communication director of the President of the United States. I don't know. I know there is some thinking out there that runs along these lines. Well, you know, we know these guys talk that way privately, so why not just be honest about it and talk that way publicly? And, you know, that's kind of a general spirit of the age right now, isn't it? It's getting more and more relaxed out there. Very little is left to privacy anymore. I mean, it's like everything's public. I totally believe we should be real and honest about who we are. How sad, that's who they are. Okay, foul mouth, bullying personality. Not real sure that's the best public face to give this particular president anyway, but it's consistent with a general trend in our society. Throwing off proprieties, mocking civil decorum, purposely spurning common decency. You should take a look sometime at how folks dress to, well, in public, say to Walmart. You've seen those pictures? I mean, they wake up in their pajamas, put on their slippers, and with curlers still in their hair, walk out into public and go shopping at Walmart. They're being real, man. Hey, yeah, real. Real disrespectful and real inappropriate. And, well, all sorts of realness is going on. That is unreal, man. Now, I can think of other things we do privately that we don't do publicly. Can you think of some? Anyway, maybe these guys are what they reveal about themselves through their speech, after all. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Overall, however, I must say, I am enjoying Trump's atypical approach to the presidency. I don't know of another president in my lifetime, outside of Reagan, who did more to deliver on his campaign promises. And frankly, I don't know of any president, even Reagan, who has had greater opposition from within his own party as Trump has had to face. And believe me, I'm saying that remembering how much opposition Reagan faced. And this takes us to a discussion of the most recent betrayal of the Republican voters by the Gophers. And that is their recent failure to pass what is called the Skinny Repeal Bill. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back. We'll talk about it. My dear friends, Becky and I would like to invite you to dinner. We've engaged Lou Silva of Have It Wired here in Santa Maria to put together his famous Santa Maria-style tri-tip dinner. And our wonderful church family will serve our tables. Emily is planning to present one of her awesome desserts. Every guest will be entered to win our grand prize, the God and Gun Clinger Home Defense Kit. And this year, Pat of Pat's Automotive in Santa Maria, along with John Perry of Range Master and Slow, have teamed up to provide the gun. And this year, it's a Smith & Wesson MP9 Shield, equipped with the Crimson Trace Lacer and holster. Lighthouse Baptist Church will provide the leather-bound Bible. And this year, I'm going to add, for free, a digital copy of my book, Know Your Bible Introductions. It provides background information and content analysis with theme and purpose and outline and so forth for every book in the Bible. All of that goes to the winner of the grand prize, the God and Gun Clinger Home Defense Kit. And then, this year, you'll have two more opportunities to win big. Tate of Tate's Avocado has made available two more drawing prizes that every guest will have an opportunity to win. And folks, listen to this. California State Assemblyman Jim Patterson, who did not betray us and vote for the cap and trade boondoggle, will be speaking at our Lights On Banquet this year, November 3rd. And that's not all. Julie Bischoff has agreed to come. Now, she's president of Santa Barbara Conservative Women Federated. And now, for all my East Coast listeners, listen, yeah, there are conservative assemblymen and conservative women in California. No kidding, Julie Bischoff is an advocate exposing the problem of voter fraud in California. I want my Lights On friends to join us November 3rd at 6 p.m. for our Lights On Banquet, an evening with the Brain Masseur. And, of course, I can't forget the most awesome reason of all to reserve your seat. I'm going to present a live performance of the Ray Mazar Show. Kidding aside, folks, we need your support, really. If you appreciate what we're doing to get the Bible back into politics. Yeah, if you believe Christians ought to be speaking up and out on the issues of concern to all God and country patriots, well, come on out and help us be heard. The cost is $25. The date is November 3rd. The place is the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And if you reserve your seat on or before September 1st, you qualify for our Second Amendment discount, and that'll save you $5 per person. That following Saturday, we plan to host a home and personal defense expo from 9 to noon. And then, that Sunday, it's Second Amendment Sunday at the Lighthouse. It's going to be an awesome weekend. Don't miss out. Call Rebecca at 805-714-0786, and she'll help you get registered. Or go to santamarialighthouse.org and look at the top menu there. You'll find the word banquet on the far right. Click, and then you can complete the form to register for the event. At the bottom of that page, you'll see a link to our bookstore where you can purchase your tickets. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria. Your Brain Masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Let's take another quick look at the backdrop for the Brain Massage today. North Korea and Iran continue to signal ominous threats to America, and North Korea, like it or not, is an extension of China. Don't let China fool you. They hold the leash on North Korea. And Iran, like it or not, is an extension of Russia's interests, a sort of agent of Western destabilization. And you're watching, in America today, the drama of the loosing of the bands and cords of civilized decorum as America continues to turn her back on God. Now, this cannot end in a good way. So, Sunday night, 6 p.m., we're calling a special prayer meeting. You're invited. And we're going to pray for President Trump and for America at the Lighthouse. Good news. Trump tweets his disposition regarding transgender personnel in the military. And the revelation of at least a bit of the truth about the misery of those confused people comes out on the heels of all this. A 40% suicide rate among those who are gender confused. 45% if you look at the specific date range of 18 to 24. Now, some speculate that Trump is doing this merely to deflect some attention away from the Russia probe issue and the conflicts developing between him and some of his key picks like Sessions and Tillerson. To clarify, the president does not issue executive orders via Twitter. I mean, well, not legally. The generals are under no obligation to act on Trump's tweets. And unless Trump follows his tweet with a formal executive order, well, this is going to be a problem for a whole lot of reasons, but among them, that what he will have served to do is simply to excite the anticipation of many who are very concerned about this issue, and I think rightly so, and want a ban on transgender people serving in the military, only then to disappoint them. And then, on the other hand, to disturb and get all flapped up those on the other side of this weird debate, and get them angry, frustrate them, and so on, and literally, in some ways, put something of a target on the few transgendered personnel now serving. I think it's like 45 or whatever. He needs to follow up on his tweet with some ink on an executive order, and he should do it sooner rather than later. Never a Lady Gaga. And there's another perfect example of my drone string pointness message using a word like lady with Gaga. Really. But torqued out Gaga reacted to the president's tweet that he intended to ban all transgender personnel from serving in any capacity in the military by sending out a tweet of her own. Gaga posted the following tweet, quote, at POTUS, sincerely, did you know of the group you singled out today? 45% of them, ages 18 to 24, have attempted suicide already, end quote. Yeah. Interesting admission, isn't it? Iraq war vet Salzman responded to her tweet with this, quote, so your solution is to give them a weapon and send them off into combat where lives depend on mental and emotional stability under stress, end quote. Huh. Sort of puts the matter into focus, doesn't it? Now, of course, ever the gender bender defender Glenn Beck, astride his high horse of specious moral superiority, tweak, tweak, he doesn't care if they call themselves men or women or anything in between, so long as they shoot and kill the people they're sent to shoot and kill, he could care less. I think that's his version of, you know, let the military alone to do its job and quit bothering them with all this social issue, politically correct nonsense, right? Let's quit using the military as a laboratory for social engineering, shall we? And leave them alone to do their job. The fact is, it is obvious that these people are sick. And I don't mean that disparagingly. They are disturbed on a very deep level. They're confused about something so concrete in reality, you know, as the distinction between male and female that literally runs throughout the entire creation, my friend. I mean, my pumpkin vines know the difference. My zucchini plants know the difference. There's a male and then there's a female flower. And there's nothing in between those two things. And we don't do an operation to convert one into the other. Why bother? These people haven't got the sense of a pumpkin plant, or they are so deeply confused in their soul, perverted by sin nature, they've lost their way. And in the misery of their confusion, almost half of them decide to throw away their life. And this is sad, my friend. I'm glad it's being exposed. And a whole lot of other misery, the homosexuals in that community, the things that they suffer, ought to be exposed. You ought to know the truth about all this. The idea that society would be so cruel and foolish as to encourage this behavior and support it is inexcusable and arguably criminal when it comes to our young people. They need help. And it's time we wake up and get real about this. You know, how strange it is to live in a time like this when it seems that the very people who are criticizing others with some culture and civil manners as being fake and unreal, and, you know, the very people who snidely use the idea of get real, man, when it comes to following pragmatic policies in politics and in life decisions, these are the ones who are losing their grip on reality and are losing a focus completely on what's real and insisting that we join them in this. And you might have noticed that the battle lines are drawn, interestingly, exactly on those areas most clearly and severely condemned by the Creator. You know, God said, or perhaps I should say the Spirit of Jesus Christ said, quote, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God, end quote. Deuteronomy 22:5. But in the spirit of Antichrist, you know, the spirit that is against the spirit of Jesus Christ, you know, at least the Christ of the Bible, not the one the world invents, sweetie pie Jesus, you know, the spirit that rages against the bands and the cords of the rule of Christ Jesus in the earth, specifically pick these issues to draw their line of defiance against the rule of Christ, who prophesied they would do this. He said that they would say, quote, we will not have that man to reign over us, end quote, Luke 19:14. God said it's an abomination, and that means it's disgusting to him. It's something that God considers an abhorrence. Obviously, it's something that disturbs God, who created man in his own image and likeness. Male and female created he them, and set these distinctions between the sexes. And he considers it an abomination to blur these distinctions, even in your dress. So it makes perfect sense that the Antichrist spirit, right, would purposely pick these issues to draw a line of defiance against the bands and cords of biblical righteousness, and attempt to break society away from those bands and cords. And look what it's doing to us. We're becoming a ridiculous spectacle of buffoonery, insane with our raging. The sodomites demanding Lot release the men under his roof to be used by them in an act we've come to call by the name of that infamous city, sodomy, and the angels striking them with blindness? And yet, nevertheless, they continued to grope at the door even in their blindness, madly pursuing their own destruction, which, by the way, they received. And those great biblical scholars, right, who read the Bible once, or at least they read a story or two, and they say, oh, no. The sin of Sodom was their mistreatment of the poor. You can see it right here in Ezekiel 16:49. And these characters always preface their arguments by touting their credentials, don't they? So, okay. Now, look, I've read the Bible from cover to cover more than 200 times now. I read it cover to cover 100 times in the period of a little over 18, maybe 19 months at one time. I've spent a lifetime studying it very carefully, more than 45 years. I hold a THG, a BA, a master's degree, and a doctorate in theological studies, in case it matters. And I guess our biblical scholars who think Ezekiel 16:49 tells us that the sin of Sodom was merely that they mistreated the poor, failed to consider its context and failed to be guided by the law first mentioned, which would refer them back to Genesis 18, you know, where the story is first told. And I think they quit reading or investigating the question before they finally got over there to the book of Jude, the book just before the last book in the Bible, and verse number 7, where the Spirit of Jesus Christ gives the final word on God's problem with Sodom. Jude 7, quote, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, end quote. Now, the strange flesh is explained in Romans 1:26-27, men with men working that which is unseemly and warning us that they receive, quote, in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet or fitting, end quote. And I'm going to bet that probably nobody listening to me had a problem understanding good old King James English. It's amazing how in passages like this, they really do hear it. So, do you find it interesting that the world rages? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us, and chooses these specific things? Gender confusion in dress and presentation and sexual practices? That's where they draw their battle line against God? Oh, that and the spilling of innocent blood, another real biggie in the Bible. I mean, getting foaming at the mouth furious on these specific issues. Okay, I can see I better move on. That one out there rolling her eyes, so they're spinning in such circles, I'm afraid she's going to get dizzy and stumble. So, Charlie Gard died. A testament to the danger of government health care and getting into bed with the UN. Signing on to the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. Yeah, that's what the UK did. The UN started working on that draft, by the way, when Reagan was president. But by the time it was done, he was out of office and Clinton was then president, 1990. That's when it was signed. He supported it, but there was so much outcry against it, so much exposure of what's really in that law, that he did not put it before the Senate. In our government, of course, the president cannot unilaterally bind the United States to treaties without a two-third majority of the Senate ratifying it or approving of the treaty for the president then to ratify it. Bush refused to present it to the Senate for ratification, and while Obama made a bunch of fuss about how embarrassing it is that America was not yet on board with the UN resolution, he never presented it to the Senate either. So, while America has signed on because it has not been ratified by our Senate and then signed by the president afterwards, we are not a party to that resolution. And the reason is that there are all sorts of very bad rules in that regulation that Minutemen stand up and bring to our attention every time it comes up. Rules we watched play out before our eyes in the UK recently, essentially. The UN Convention on the Rights of the Child authorizes the government to usurp the natural rights of the parents anytime it deems it in the best interest of the child to do so. The UK, acting within their rights, quote unquote, under UN law, usurped the rights of Charlie's parents, and together with that government, you know, with their government health care system, conspired to kill baby Charlie Gard. Let this story stand as a guard against the United States getting into bed with the European model of government-run healthcare and surrendering sovereignty to the UN, allowing government to usurp the natural rights of parents so that the government can decide what's best for your children, you know, to inoculate them at their will, contrary to yours, interject themselves into your interests in their education and rearing your children, and in many other ways, push the parents out of the way and take over custody of your children. Let the story of Charlie Gard take guard over this nation. Don't give that devil the inch it needs to take your children from you. Now, McCain, the turncoat, perhaps felt insulated from public backlash by wrapping himself up in his cancer diagnosis. And again, my prayers are with him. I trust he'll beat this thing. But this phony voted for repeal repeatedly. And now, all of a sudden, he decides to be the point man shooting down our latest best chance to repeal Obamacare. The other two, I think Republicans that participated in this chicanery, also, one of them I know voted for repeal repeatedly. But now, all of a sudden, this one has won re-election. She's got a 6-year stretch ahead of her. She feels insulated. So I think they picked these two, believing they would be insulated from political backlash, and trotted them out there to undermine this thing. I don't think it was only those three establishment Republicans that shot this down. I think these three stepped up to provide cover for the others. Listen, it's what I've been telling you. The establishment Aristo Republicans don't want to get rid of Obamacare. So here's a headline for you, and it should encourage you. The GOP promises to make your taxes simpler, fairer, and lower. Yeah, right. Like they're going to repeal Obamacare. They're a pack of liars. The entire gang of these folks need to be booted. The American people need to say loud and clear, you're fired, McCain and the rest of you. All these people that have been there more than 3 or 4 terms, we ought to get rid of them. Perhaps with a few exceptions. And the rest that conspired together with them, certainly, to hide from their electorate a vote they knew when they cast it was going to be undermined by McCain and the other two. I believe that was their plan. Listen, I personally don't trust any one of these as far as I could throw them. Except for the few staunch conservatives who proved themselves true and who have been consistent. And I call on them to stand up, step up, and don't give up. So let's conclude today's brain massage. We are hacking away at the cords and bands that have held us to a biblically shaped culture and a biblically instructed conscience. This ship of state is slowly but surely breaking away from the moorings that held the sin nature to some standard of decency, some sense of morality, some idea of right and wrong that has up till now protected us from the ravages of savagery, from the death spiral described in Romans chapter 1, 17 and following that leads to collapse into moral chaos, where we actually endorse and encourage a behavior that we know is destroying the lives of our fellows and our children. Sunday night, I'll be talking to this, explaining something very important for all God-fearing patriots to understand. 6 p.m. at the Lighthouse. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. You can go to our website, Brain Massage. Take those two words, make one word from it. BrainMassage.net. That's BrainMassage.net, and you'll see there a place to write to. You'll also see a place there where you can send us a donation to help further our cause and to help our voice be heard. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
You are invited to the Lights On Banquet, November 3rd at the Lighthouse, to hear California State Assemblyman Jim Patterson and Santa Barbara Conservative Women Federated President Julie Bischoff with a live brain massage from your beloved brain masseur. Each guest is automatically entered into 3 drawings this year. The grand prize, the God and Gunclinger Home Defense Kit, includes a leather-bound Bible and an awesome gun. Also, each guest is entered into 2 super-duper secret special drawings for prizes that I can't even mention on the radio. But I can tell you that they're worth in excess of $200 each. Lou and Peter will be serving up their succulent, delicious, flavor-bursting Santa Maria-style tri-tip with all the fixings, followed by one of Emily's special desserts. Sorry, the Patriots discount is no longer available, but we have set aside 20 more seats for the Second Amendment discount. Save $5 off each seat if you register by September 1st, 2017. Call Becky at 805-714-0786 and she'll help you get registered. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon.